And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here live from Pete and Terry's Tavern, which connects to Bridgestone Arena. Game four tonight, 8:30 puck drop, 7:30 pregame, live Preds Insider starting at 6 o'clock. So hockey coverage here all throughout the day, and from 6 o'clock on throughout the night, you will get live hockey coverage right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe. Here in the house. That. Willie D will join us in just a bit. Chaser, what's up?
You know, Darren, it's good to be here. I've missed you guys, and so I'm glad that the suit could come and hang out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. This is our old hangout.
This is.
This was our pre-COVID hangout here at Pete and Terry's. So good to be back here. And Robbie and Rex Road were here, and we'll be here all day. So big game four tonight. Looking forward to it. And hopefully the Preds can stay alive in this thing.
That is the plan.
That is what
When you're down 0-3 in the series.
It's not what I know. It's what I hope.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to do that when you're down 0-3 in a series. Stay alive. Yep.
And, you know, you may not know this. I know this because I'm the suit. But we're actually going to have a pair of tickets to give away for tonight's game.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you were probably in that meeting that I was not in. So, yeah, you're right.
You know what? We have a lot of meetings in suit world. Sometimes we have meetings about meetings. That actually was just a phone call.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, that's an easy day.
Meetings about meetings. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
You know, it happens.
There's a lot going on. Obviously, we're going to talk about what happened on Saturday afternoon. But the other piece of news that has hit in the last hour or so, Barry Trotz has been shown the door in New York as the Islanders head coach. Let's see. When they hired him, they then let their best player, John Tavares, go to Toronto. So staying in the same conference.
Yep.
Basically going to the competition, your best player, and Barry, let's see, that first year, which everybody thought they were done. Like, you just lost Tavares. You got no chance this year. It's going to take time to build this up. They lost in the second round to Carolina. The following year, they lost in the conference finals to Tampa, and then lost in the semifinals last year to Tampa. So both years put out to the eventual Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah.
But the Islanders announcing today they feel like they can do better because they've been littered with tons of success before Barry Trotz got there. I mean, yes, a long time ago, decades and decades ago, but here recently they've been littered with lots of success. Oh, wait a minute. No, they haven't been. They haven't been littered with lots of success.
And what is it that Barry Trotz did before he was hired as the Islanders coach? You touched on that. He won
Stanley Cup. His final year in Washington, he won the Stanley Cup.
That's it.
With the Capitals.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, Lou Lamoriello, and Lou we trust.
He's like 110 years old. How old is
Lou? Okay, you said he's pushing 80.
Yeah, I said he's got to be 80 years old. He's, I guess, 79. We looked it up.
Yeah, 79.
79 years old.
So that's pushing 80. That's close.
That is, what I said was correct. He is pushing 80.
The Barry,
when you're 79, you're pushing 80.
The Barry Trotz news is interesting because that now, I mean, I don't think anybody would argue he's the best available coach on the market. So, you know, it's one of those things that if there's a team that maybe they were thinking about it, but they ultimately just haven't done it yet, Barry Trotz becomes available, and that may change their way of thinking if they want to make a coaching change. Now, you know, we haven't talked to Barry in a while. I don't know at this point. I would assume he still wants to coach. So I would think that
Barry's not even 60 yet.
No. So I would think that he probably wants to land another job somewhere. But I don't know that for a fact. You know, like I said, this just happened. So, and it's unexpected. It's not unexpected because it's Lou Lamoriello, but it's unexpected because of what you just rattled off with the success that he's had since he's been the head coach of the Islanders. So my guess is he's going to coach somewhere next year. I'm curious of his staff. You know, I've kind of felt for a while that Lane Lambert, who has been a longtime assistant coach for him, going back to his days here, you know, he's probably in line to get a shot somewhere as a head coach. So, you know, it's just there's a lot of moving pieces there with that. But I knew when I got that notification on my phone, I was like, well, we're definitely going to talk about this. And I also knew what Twitter was going to look like from certain Preds fans.
Yep.
And that has begun.
He could maybe do a LeBron James, come back home and get a championship.
He could. But where and doing what? I mean, that's the thing. They have a head coach right now.
They do.
John Hines. So
this is true. Which does have an expiring contract.
He does. And so that certainly creates a layer. You know, when Barry left, and you obviously remember that, when Barry left, he was given the opportunity to potentially have some sort of front office position and turn that down because he wanted to still coach. So I think that who knows at this point in time if that's something he's interested in. Like I said, I think he still wants to coach. So,
yeah. Valerie tweets at us and says, on the question of bringing Trotz back, if David Poile doesn't try to make that happen, that will be the last straw for me. No disrespect to Hines, but you don't keep your serviceable Toyota Corolla if you have the chance to get a Lexus. Wow.
Well, Valerie, I like the analogy there, but Lexus is basically a higher-end Toyota. So, I mean, they're kind of the same family.
Well, maybe that's why she used the reference.
Yeah, but, I mean, it is certainly an upgrade.
They're both in the coaching family, and she's saying one's
I like it.
In her opinion, one's higher than the other.
I like what she did there. That's good.
You know?
It's an it's one of those things that, like, I know that people want to talk about that. And I know that I've been on the phone all morning about that because I know Jared is interested in talking about that. But, you know, they got a game to win tonight to stay alive. I think if this series goes the way that I believe we all kind of feel that it's going to, it's inevitable at some point, then they're going to have a lot of things to look at with this organization. I mean, Philip Forsberg is still unsigned.
Yep.
And I'm going to be honest with
you. They're 2 months out from losing a giant chess piece.
Yeah.
And
I don't feel good about it. I'm just going to be honest with you. At this point today, on May 9th, I don't feel good about that.
Well, I mean, for a lot of people believe he wants to test the free agent market, and if he does, again, if he gets to market, the Predators have lost a giant chess piece. They have lost a giant. They've got that card. There's two cards. There's one card in one sleeve, and there's another card on another sleeve. One is an extra year that nobody can offer.
Yep.
That's the ace of spades. The other is an ace of diamonds, and that is, I guess the other one should have been the ace of diamonds, right? Because we're talking about more money. The other one is the ace of spades then, and it's the no state income tax, and that's the one you've got no matter what. But losing a year is a huge piece. And if he hits the market, I don't know. I just think
– I don't think
he wants eight. Why would he – I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be a Mikhail Granlund situation where he hits the market and then he comes back. I think if he hits the market –
why would he come – that's what I don't understand. Why would he hit the market and then come back? Like, that doesn't – to me – in the situation that he's in, because
he's giving up the eighth year, like that's why it doesn't make sense.
That's what I'm getting at. Like he's earned. Like, he did what you're supposed to do in a contract year. You went out and have the career year. He did it.
Right.
I know he doesn't have any points in the playoffs, but he had the career year. He had 42 goals. So he ultimately has the leverage. That's what every player strives to do in the playoff, or when you go into your final year of a contract, especially when you're at that age where this is going to be your biggest one. This is your contract that you've played your whole career for. This is the big one, as they say.
Right.
So why would you hit the market and lose that extra year that is guaranteed. Guaranteed money. Guaranteed year. I don't know why, unless your agent is telling you, hey, man, if you hit the market, there's some wacky team out there that's going to offer you $12 million a year. I don't know. Maybe that's happened.
Yeah, but how much are you actually going to get of that? Like, if I've seen some people throw out L.A. because they're connecting the dots to Arvidsson, to going back with Arvidsson. I'm not convinced that he would necessarily want to go to L.A. I think that team is overachieved, much like the Predators have, but are they any closer than Nashville is? Are they? I mean, does he view them as they're a him away from being a cup contender? I don't know.
I don't know.
But if they offer him $10 million a year, he's probably – and the Predators are offering $9 million, he's going to end up still making more here because no state income tax. So from a finance – and he would get one less year in L.A. So, you know, looking at it from that standpoint – now, could there be a situation similar to Dan Hamhuis a few years back that it gets to the point where they know they're not going to be able to sign him and they trade him for nothing, basically, and get a little something? Then the eighth year is in play with the new team. But
look, the way LA's playing right now, that series is tied at 2. They shut out Edmonton last night.
That's fair.
Without Drew Doughty, who's out, he's been out. We know he's out for the playoffs. He's kind of an important piece to them, and they're still playing like this when Edmonton was red hot coming into the playoffs. Maybe they do feel like they're one player, big piece away.
Well, they do have goaltending that's been there before. I mean, and I don't mean that as a slight to Connor Ingram, but you've asked a lot of a rookie, too. So, I mean, that certainly is a factor. Even though I'm not convinced if Saros was in net with as fast as this Colorado team has been, that it wouldn't be the same situation.
Yeah, but you just can't – for all the people out there, like, I understand. Like, I'm not saying that the series is completely different. I'm not saying that, oh, he's in, they win the series instead of lose the series. I'm saying you just can't slough it off. Like, if you think he is one of the best goaltenders in the league and that position is so vitally important, especially – in the playoffs, like how many times have you heard the phrase, just get a red hot goaltender and you can go really far. Okay, well, if you believe that, you just can't blow it off like, yeah, but he wouldn't have made that. I'm not saying maybe it's 2-1, Colorado. I don't know. I don't know, and they still lose the series. But just to say, well, I don't think the results would be any different, you can't say that. The gap between UC Saros and the guys behind him is pretty huge.
Sure.
But yeah, I know Connor Ingram had one big game, but the gap between Saros and Redick and Ingram is large. So you can't say it's, it would have been the same anyway.
I don't know that for sure, but, I mean, I'm basing that based on what I've seen out of this. This is you. Oh, I thought you were looking for that. I'm basing that on what I've seen just out of Colorado. Like, Colorado has shown that they're on another level. So that's I mean, maybe there's a win in there somewhere for the Predators with Saros. But like you said, we don't know.
All right, we'll come back, continue the discussion. What are your thoughts going into Game 4? What are your thoughts on Barry Trotz getting fired? We'll do all that on the other side as you listen to the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. Willie Lee will join us a little bit later. By the way, for This Is What I Know, coming up at 11:45. Sting at Ascend Amphitheater? Yes.
I'm excited for that.
I didn't even know he was coming to.
I found that out Saturday.
I didn't even know.
When I looked at the schedule, and I was like, oh, snap. Got to go see Sting.
Sting at Ascend Amphitheater. Well, hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity dog. Indeed.
Yeah. That sounds really good.
We're rocking. We're on the speakers now. So what up, Nashville? How we doing?
What's up, Nashville?
The suit is here.
Suit. Joe on our text line says, can we just franchise tag Forsberg. No, you can transition tag him. You can't franchise tag.
No.
I don't know.
Unfortunately, they don't have either of those.
That's the best joke I have.
Keep working on it, but that's okay. Yeah, nope, don't have that. Don't have that in the NHL, but that's all right.
Fat Hog on our text line down in Murfreesboro says, "I was listening to Fat Hog. I was listening to your national anthem today and thought the Preds may want to lead the game today with taps instead." Whoa! I see what you did there, Fat Hog. That's a good one.
Wow.
See, now that's material right there. That's good stuff, or not.
So let me throw this at you.
Yeah, throw it. Don't throw it, please.
Well, with Forsberg.
I'm moving slow.
Because I've heard you say this, and we've talked about it on the show before, that you don't let players dictate organizational decisions, okay? You may run something by Yossi, but it's probably not. Like, players are players. But if Forsberg basically, sees that there could be some changes, or in his mind wants some changes to help dictate his decision, what does that do for the negotiations?
What is he –
I'm making a hypothetical.
I understand, but, I mean, do we think it's about the roster?
I mean, that's – if he's going to – in my opinion, if he's going to – be upset about a certain thing or want some changes in a certain area, I think it would be more depth in the roster.
So let me get this straight. So you want the maximum amount of money possible for 8 years guaranteed, and then you want to dictate the roster. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're a part of the roster.
Oh, with a salary cap to boot.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. So you want the maximum amount of money, 8 years guaranteed, and you want to dictate the roster, just so I'm hearing you correctly. You want say in what they spend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, good luck with that.
Exactly.
Good luck with that. Let's see, Ryan Tannehill, $38 million against the cap, and you want to dictate the roster. Yeah, no, that's not how that works.
Right.
And that's why you lost A.J. Brown. Oh, well, maybe you shouldn't have been making $38 million, but that's not your fault. That's not his fault.
Right, but he can –
that's the Titans, and that's John Robinson's fault for giving him $38 million against the cap this year.
Hang on. Not agreeing with him, but you kind of just started to do it. But playing devil's advocate, he's getting that because they went to him and said, hey, we're going to basically give you an extra year so we can make Julio work.
And if you notice, they didn't do that this offseason.
Which was a good move.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
they did that
look,
with other players.
I respect players wanting the most. I get it. Go get it. If Bud Walters wanted to pay me $10 million a year here, I'd take it. And then everybody listening to the show would scream every day I mess up, going, you suck. You're so overpaid. Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous. How could Cromwell do that? I get it. But I would take it. Just like any player. Like, take it. But you also don't get to say then you lose certain privileges.
Sure.
Like David Poyle in the front office and the ownership group is not going to look at Philip Forsberg's camp and be like, so you want max money, max deal, and then you want to tell us how to do the roster. Yeah.
Or anything else for that matter.
That's not how this works. Like, no, this is a business. There's a cap. And now you're going to chew up a lot more money against the cap for 8 years, and I respect that. Like, we want the same thing. We want the same. We're trying to be competitive. You want us to be competitive. Get it, but you don't get to get a max deal at a really, really high price and then say, and then I want this and I want that. It's like, well, no. It's like Ryan Tannehill. Like, you got that money, dude. Good for you. But don't cry when you lose A.J. Brown. Like, there's consequences to
it. Right, because you have to play within a salary cap.
That's how
it works.
It does. That's how it works. Yes.
But with Forsberg, with this
later,
whole situation.
Great to
later,
see you,
Alan.
Good to see you, man. Good work, by the way.
With
good hustle on the floor. I like it.
That was good.
Yep.
That was real good. With this whole situation with the Preds and what they're in right now, I mean, and we're going to have – they got one game tonight to get on the board here. And I've seen crazier things happen in sports. I've seen teams down 3-0 and come back and win a series.
Hal Gill did it twice in his career.
He did. Now, I'm being honest. Do I believe that the Preds are going to do that?
Be honest.
No, I don't.
But you be honest.
I think Colorado is a Stanley Cup caliber team, and they're showing it. They are flexing.
So let's mix it up. So you've been honest. Now lie to us. Tell us. Give us a lie.
I think the Preds are going to win 7-0 tonight.
There you go.
There you go. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
I don't believe that. Do I believe they can win? Sure, but I don't.
I mean, they could win 7-0.
They could.
They could.
I've seen crazier things happen.
Like what? And don't lie this time.
Well, see, I knew you were going to do that because now I got to think of an example of, well, okay, Tampa coming in as a President's Trophy and the number one seed, and they get swept by Columbus.
Okay. All right. There you go.
The Predators sweeping Chicago. I mean, it happens. So I think that, but with the situation that they're in, you can blame it on Poile and how he's built this roster, even though let's all be honest again.
Be honest.
Going into the season, nobody gave them a chance to do anything, and here they are in the playoffs. So I put that in the if you were in that group, then they overachieved. So Poile deserves credit there. Do I think that they still need more depth and need to make some changes? Absolutely. You can blame it on the system and the coach that, all right, the system, this identity that they play by is great, but knowing that this is the first time in 3 years they've played 82 games, it's pretty clear that the fatigue factor has set in and this system has been tough on them. That's a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you play the blame game, I mean, I think there's a lot of blame to go around. And Philip Forsberg, the guy that's trying to get paid, what's he done these playoffs?
He doesn't have a point.
Exactly. So it's an interesting situation that they're in. And you know, going back to what we were, you know, talking about with Barry Trotz, and now he's available. I don't see a coaching change happening here. I just don't. But and that's the honest truth.
I will say this on the other side. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Okay. About that subject.
Okay.
And another layer to that subject.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, okay? I like that.
I'm going to be honest on the other side. Troy in Murfreesboro on our text line says we should have faked injuries to Reddick and Ingram and brought in the e-bug from the stands. And it would be Pekka, but Pekka's not the e-bug.
Pekka's not the e-bug.
Tony.
Pekka's in Finland.
Troy also gave us, he is, rooting on the Preds. Troy in Murfreesboro also texted in Thursday when we were doing fun minor league team
names. I heard that. That was funny.
He gave us Lansing Lugnuts. Now, see, this is a prime example of I made $10 million a year. At the time, I was like, Lansing Lugnuts? Like, that's a kind of a silly name for a baseball team. And then I thought about it later. I was like, oh, Michigan and cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, see, that's when people would be like, you suck at your job. Oh, my gosh, you suck. Like, how easy is that to figure out?
How would you not know that?
You dummy. You make $10 million a year. You can't put Lugnuts with cars. Gosh. So overpaid. That's what would have happened.
Yeah. But you know what?
But nobody said that.
But you know what?
If I you made had, $3.50 an hour.
Yeah, if you
$3.50
made,
an
if
hour.
If you made $10 million a year, I don't think you'd care what people had to say.
No, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. Hence, a lot of players don't care.
Let me sip my expensive champagne on my yacht, and I'll be okay.
No, I wouldn't have a yacht. $10 million a year. You got to make way more than that to have a yacht.
Oh, that's true. Nice car.
Yeah, but $10 million a year
that you probably leave in your garage.
No, I have a lot of friends that do that. They're like, why do you buy these cars and just keep them in your garage? It's the silliest thing ever.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to come back and be honest with
be
you.
Be honest.
Be honest on this situation I've on the other honest. Side. As you listen to the DDC, we'll talk with TD to begin the second hour. ESPN 102.5 The Game. On the DDC, we're live here at Pete and Terry's. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Game 4 tonight. Sometime before we get out of here. Plus, this is what I know. Tickets to Sting on May 18th at Ascend Amphitheater. Our buddy Justin Bradford, listen to this little nugget, tweeted at us. We got $25 tickets, including fees, to Sting with Live Nation with the sale that we've been running.
Oh, there you go.
How about that?
There you go.
$25 tickets at Ascend to see Sting, including fees.
Hmm. Can't beat that deal with a stick. That's a good one.
What's wrong?
I don't know.
What is wrong? They're coming to get you right now. Yeah, he's right here, folks.
Well, okay, we're one for one. You've told a bad joke, yeah. And I've told a bad joke, so we're even.
All right, fair enough. All right, I said I'm going to be honest. I did not believe that anything was going to, for all the people, it's time to, I know all the, and it's, I realize it quieted down when they got hot in the regular season and nobody was, and they were basically a playoff team for most of the season, right? They were on the inside. And so kind of all that chatter was pretty quiet. And then down the stretch, they kind of fumbled and bumbled. And then, you heard a little bit of that stuff again. Those people were waiting to pounce, that group.
Sure.
I would have thought, look, you can sit there and say that stuff all you want, but nothing's happening. I will say there are layers to this, and I think if I'm being honest, I don't know if I feel the same as I did before.
Yeah.
Because there are layers in play. One, the first big, gigantic layer is, well, I guess let's start with this series. Like, if it ends tonight and it's getting swept, then that does factor in. Yeah. Even though Colorado may go on to win the whole thing, I don't know. They haven't proven that yet. They haven't even made a long run yet. But they certainly looked pretty darn equipped.
Sure.
They're pretty darn good. But, again, they could get in the second round and get bumped out again. I don't know. But talking about this series, if it's four and done where – really, they haven't played great. I said this with Robbie and Rex Road at 9 o'clock. Believe it or not, I think their best game was Saturday afternoon in a 7-3 loss. Thought that was their best game. I don't believe it was game two. I believe Connor Ingram's best game
was game two.
For most of the game, they were on their heels. They just were. Like, they survived because Connor Ingram kept them in the game with 49 saves.
I think I'd agree with you on that.
Like, the second period should have been – they should have been mopped in the second period. It was one-sided. They had to kill off three penalties, which they did. They were outshot 21-5, and yet it was still tied 1-1 after the second period, which they were outplayed
badly. Yeah, but they also
badly.
Didn't kill a penalty on Saturday, so that's –
true.
That's,
well, they did. They killed one.
One. They were, but
Colorado's 4-5.
Yeah, but still, that was pretty bad. And that was the game. That was the difference in the game. The fact that they couldn't kill off those power plays. So I think for the most part, though, like if you had Ingram's game two mixed with the 5-on-5 game three of the Predators, then that might have been a different result. But the fact of the matter is they're down 3-0. And they have looked outmatched. They've looked slow. Now, this is one of the younger teams in the league, and they've looked old and slow against Colorado. And, that's a credit to Colorado, but at the same time, that's a concern for the Predators. So I think that some thoughts have maybe changed. I said in the last segment, I don't think there's going to be a change because this organization has been very hesitant to make big changes. And that's kind of how I'm basing that. Now, and I don't think it's all John Hines. I think we've gone through that. But they are at a crossroads of things, of how can they build off this? Is the trajectory, and that Robbie and Rex were talking about this morning, and I think you weighed in on it, of are they trending in the right direction, even though they're looking like they could get swept for the first time in their history, is the path they're on the right path? And, oh, by the way, Philip Forsberg has a lot to do with that. Like, even if Philip Forsberg resigns, do you think that they are on the right path?
How are you not on the right path if you're a playoff team?
That's a fair question.
Like, Arizona isn't on the right path.
No.
Because they were horrible.
But are you –
there are certain teams you say, well, are they on the right path? I mean, they haven't been good for years. So if you've been a playoff team for 8 years in a row, whether the whatever the outcome is, yeah, you get swept. All right. So it's first time in franchise history. But you made the playoffs. So how are you not on the right path with one of the younger teams in the league if you make the playoffs?
It's a fair question. But I think right now a lot of the fan base and how they feel is that they are set up to just make the playoffs. That they're not set up to make a run in the playoffs.
Okay, but what are you doing differently? If you're a playoff team and you got Forsberg with 42 goals, Duchesne with 43 goals, Johansson the best season he's had since he's been here.
That's your top line.
Roman Josi did what no defenseman has done in three-plus decades. Juuse Saros was good for most the entire year.
Yep.
What are you doing differently? Tanner Janot had an unbelievable rookie season, even though the well has dried up for him. I mean, he has 1 point in 18 games. That's the month of April and three playoff games.
Okay.
1 point. But he still had 24 goals in the regular season.
I understand. But why is that? Why is it dried up? I don't think
Maybe he's hit the proverbial wall. I don't know.
Right. But, okay, so...
But does that mean he's always going to hit the wall? I don't know.
No, we have no idea. But that's what I'm saying. There's all these... You have laid out facts that I can't argue against. But then there are layers to it that make you ask more questions of, okay, why has Janot hit the wall? What happened to the herd? Why is Ellie Tolvanen not the second-line winger scoring goals? Why can't he score goals?
I don't know. Maybe he's not what we thought. I don't know.
Right now?
And maybe he
that's
is.
The conclusion
he's still
that I've
very
come to-
young. But I don't know. Maybe he was overhyped. It's a good question. I don't know why. Maybe that is the answer. Is that a coach's fault?
Well, he didn't really do much under Laviolette either.
I understand. So. But, we've been chalking it up to age.
Yeah.
So at some point, it's going to be, well, maybe he's just not. And I don't know.
Well, I don't think they have time for him to get to 30 and then not all of a sudden
I understand
be good,
that. I agree.
Know? I mean.
That like, part I agree with.
Like,
but I'm saying, when
like
you say, what is not on the right path? Like, are they going to make changes? Yeah. I mean, you're going to tweak the roster. Like, it's natural. You're going to tweak. Usually you tweak the roster even if you have a really good season. Like, you tweak the roster typically. I know that David Poile has stood pat and not done anything. But I think if you get swept or however the series plays out, you lose round one, then there's going to be changes. But what is the wrong trajectory with what this team is doing? I don't know. I'm asking you.
Yeah.
What are you changing?
Well, you got to go find a second line.
You say, well, you get swept by Colorado. Well, yeah, but is there a Nathan MacKinnon coming on this roster?
No.
He's pretty special.
But the closest thing you have to that is about to walk out the door for nothing. Like that's a big problem if that happens. And there's only one person that's going to have to answer for that, and that's David Poile. And I don't disagree with him that you go past the deadline, you try and get it done with the way the team was playing at the time, where they were at the time, and conversations we had with him, it felt like, all right, they're eventually going to get this done. And they haven't yet. And that's a concern. And if he walks out the door and you get nothing for him,
that sets
you back.
That's the other layer. Like, I understand. Like, the outrage will be pretty high. And that affects me.
But that's the gamble.
Saying, oh, I don't think anything's going to happen. But then I'm like, but that is also another part of the layer. The layer of, okay, if you get swept or however this plays out, where you don't really look that competitive to another playoff team. And then the other layer of, okay, well, what if, he doesn't re-sign? Like, they're 2 months away from that decision.
Right.
They got a two-month window before this plays out one way or the other. And so that is a layer to this. I understand if he does not come back. Because I've said this the entire process, the whole year. Like, you can't have, this is not groundbreaking. For people that lived it, like me, lived it while covering this team and talking to Ryan Suter that entire year, you can't have another Ryan Suter situation.
No.
Everybody knows that.
And I don't think this is necessarily that. Like, there hasn't been body language from Philip like there was with Suter of that he's out. Like, I do believe that this has been a negotiation. And, you know, there are obviously other factors. You know, there were other factors with Suter. Suter wanted to go closer to home. The factor there with Philip is his fiance is from Georgia and close by. This is convenient for that. So that does play a role in this. Family plays a role in this. He's not, you know, just a single guy anymore.
All right, we'll come back and continue the discussion. We're getting some interesting feedback, too, that we'll weigh in on. We'll wrap up the first hour. We'll talk with TD to begin the second hour here on ESPN 102. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. If you're looking for a place to hang for lunch, come hang with us. We're having fun.
We are. We're spirited. We're having a spirited conversation.
There's spirits here at Pete and Terry's.
There are spirits here. We have not had the spirits, but we are spirited.
We'll have spirit at the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor. That'll be May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. You can sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf.
Going to be cool.
Let's see. Dustin tweeted, "I'd rather miss the playoffs the next couple of seasons and have them come out as a contender than to be satisfied with losing in the first round every season. If David Poile loses Forsberg, he needs to be gone." Now, that part, look, that's why I'm factoring in. Like, I understand if they lose Forsberg, the fans are going to be ticked. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
But since when is missing the playoffs guarantee you're coming back in full force? It doesn't.
It's all about how you go through the rebuild.
So let me ask everybody out there that says that. Like, you know, if you're going to keep failing in the playoffs, then just reboot. Okay. Titans fans, you ready to reboot?
Nope.
Why?
Well, because I look at the Titans.
Why? They've been done one and done 2 years in a row with home field advantage.
Sure.
So why aren't we talking about a reboot for the Titans?
Because I think Titans fans view their that team is a better and a deeper team than this team.
Why? It's the same results.
Running back, even though a lot of people want him gone, you do have a quarterback.
They'll have a quarterback no matter what. They will have a quarterback.
Well, that's true. You have to have a quarterback.
You have to have a quarterback. You do.
But you have a division-winning quarterback, like it or not.
So in Ryan Tannehill, this market trust right now. In Ryan Tannehill, this market trust? Eh? Really? I don't think he's got a ton of support right now.
No, he doesn't. And so he's brought that on himself.
So where's the reboot for the Titans? I mean, the results are the same. Oh, so you lose your number one receiver. They no longer believe in the quarterback. But, hey,
okay,
third year's going to be a charm.
All right. There are some people that feel about the Titans the same way that they feel about the Preds, that they are just good enough to get there, that
I'm
they are
just saying,
not good enough to make
I have
run.
Seen people say this about the Predators. You know, I'd just rather miss the playoffs and, you know, reboot and get a higher draft pick. Okay, fine.
But what are the guarantees that's going to work?
Are you saying the same thing about the Titans? Like, you realize their playoff success is the same thing. They're getting in, and they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
At home. So why is it any different? I'm asking because I don't believe in a whole reboot. Oh,
no.
Things will be better if you just, you know, you just fail.
Let's go
into misery for years to hope that, man, you're just going to get the star player and then everything changes. Yeah, it would if you could guarantee that was going to happen. If you're telling me they can get a McKinnon, okay, then let's talk about it. If you're telling me the Titans can get a Mahomes-like, okay, then let's talk about it. But you can't guarantee that stuff. Those guys change franchises. If you're guaranteeing me, oh, the Predators reboot, they're going to get a player like Austin Matthews or Nathan McKinnon,
which they're
Ovechkin. Like, let's just name the greatest, you know, Sidney Crosby, the greatest players in the world for a long, long time. Some of these guys are young. Some of these guys have been doing it forever. Okay, then now let's talk. But you can't guarantee that.
No. I think they have
guarantee me the Titans get a Patrick, the next Patrick Mahomes. Then okay, let's have the talk. But you can't guarantee that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Neither one of us know. They may have it. He might be on the. I listened to your interview with his coach that obviously is going to, you know, talk him up. But look, he might be on the roster. We don't know what Malik Willis is going to be. Who knows? But I think for the Predators, they have a foundation. Now, Philip Forsberg plays a huge part of that, that you have to keep him for this to remain true. But they have a foundation. But you got to have a second line. They don't have a second line. For whatever reason, they haven't been able to find two forward scoring lines. And that's a problem. They thought that Tolvanen, you know, was going to be that guy, and Tolvanen could help there. I'm not one of the people that's going to sit here and say he's young and – you know, he still may develop into that. I think I've seen enough. Tomasino's shown me a lot in his rookie year. I think Tomasino is something that you can build around. But if you get Forsberg back and you hang on to him, then all of a sudden you can go look in the trade market and free agency and try and find that second line winger while also building through the pipeline. And I think they have some players that are coming through that are going to help this team. We got to know one in training camp, Igor Afanasyev. He could be a part of the future.
I think he is a part of the future.
Yeah. So I think the foundation is there, but it's also very dependent on what happens with Forsberg, because if Forsberg walks for nothing,
I think it's going to be
– Then you are – then everybody's getting their wish, because then you're taking a step back.
Well, there will be gloves off for a lot of fans, and I understand that. I do. I get it.
I do too.
I understand that because I lived it. I know. I was talking to Ryan Suter the whole season. Like, I was reading his body language, and his body language was not good. And I really, really liked Ryan Suter. But they're still booing him. It's been a decade.
Right. But have you felt, because you were pretty outspoken on that, have you felt the same way at any point this year about Forsberg that you felt about Suter?
Well, it's how do I answer that honestly when I'm not around him? Well, not around the players.
True. It's a good point. That is certainly factored into things. We saw him at training camp, and that's been about it.
I mean, I haven't been around him.
Yeah.
He hasn't come to Patron Platinum Club last time I checked.
He did early in the season.
Back at the very beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that because we had a funny then conversation off the air.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I do remember what I said. You're right. The scooter?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. That's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, that's been my only interaction with him. So, I don't know. Like Ryan Suter, I was around all the time. So I don't know.
Dustin says.
I guess the answer is no, it doesn't feel the same, but I don't know that.
No, and I'm basing it on conversations that we've had with David on the show. That, you know, there have been a couple of times that David has gone out of his way to bring up that whole situation, which, you know, if he hadn't felt good about things and conversations he had, he wouldn't have done that. We know David well enough to know when he brings something up, there's a reason he's bringing it up.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We'll start a new discussion.
Let's talk Titans.
We'll talk Titans with TD. Teron Davenport to begin the second hour of the DDC. That is next.